yes, landlubbers, this here be the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. This be an unofficial podcast dedicated to the hit ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Now this here be the main show episode, where we give our further thoughts of the amazing Once Upon a Time episode we watched last Sunday. Now, if you called in or emailed in, you might be hearing your thoughts in the podcast. So keep a ruddy eye out for it. And now, let's take a closer look at all the Once Upon a Time treasure we found. Here is Captain and First Mate of the Once Upon a Time podcast. And now, Captain, permission to come aboard?
Permission granted. Come ye aboard, all ye who are wanting to come aboard.
Ye.
Yes.
Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
That's fine. So, welcome everyone. My name is Jeff Roney, and if I cough, I apologize ahead of time. And I'm also joined by my lovely wife,
Colleen. And we're a little congested.
Yeah, a little bit.
The weather change does that.
Yeah.
It's very annoying. Anyway.
So we are the captain and first mate of this vessel, this grand vessel that we are glad that you are a part of today. And if you want to join our crew, there is a little section in our website at onceuponatimepodcast.com over on the right. You can click on it and you can find out how you can join our crew. And we really appreciate that as well. And the first dog lady is laying down here. Sleeping. And so we have a number of things. We have two comedy bits. We've got some news, really exciting news. We've got some items that we're going to talk about. And I left my pad and list in the other room.
Fantastic.
So we'll find a spot and we'll go run and get that. But anyway, it's an exciting show. We're going to be talking about Belle and Pan and all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
So we will jump in right here.
Hi, Captain. Do we have some kind of news for Once Upon a Time this week?
Not only news, but this is earth-shattering, really fantastic news. Now, over the summer, Lana was engaged, and that was exciting.
Yeah, which I think we talked about that last show.
Absolutely. But following on the heels of that, this is exciting as well.
Yes, it is.
Jenny and Josh are engaged.
Yep.
This is official.
Yeah.
From People Magazine and a number of news organizations. So that's very, very cool.
Yeah.
So Once Upon a Time brought them together. And they're now getting married. So
yeah, that's
big
fantastic.
Congratulations out to you guys. We had the pleasure of quickly meeting Josh and taking a picture with him. He is just a great guy.
He is very sweet.
And so we wish them the best, of course.
Absolutely.
Magical love and magical foreverness. So, and if you want to get more news on Jenny and Josh, you can check out snowing.onceuponatimepodcast.com. It's a great Facebook page. Give you all the information that you want about Jenny and Josh, their engagement, and further life.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about the viewing numbers for Lost Girl. The updated and adjusted numbers are 8 million viewers. And compare that to the premiere of Season 3. The premiere was 8.52 million. So right around the same point, but no Breaking Bad finale for Lost Girl. So I kind of expected a little higher, but hey, we'll take what we can get.
Right. And as the season goes more, you know, we may see those numbers jump back up again. Once people realize how great the show is this season, I mean, we've talked about it before. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I think we'll see a bigger jump in numbers as the season goes.
And the key is this, it's just my opinion, is we as fans need to really get out our feelings about season three. I kind of mentioned this on Twitter. There are some fans that don't like season three.
Right.
And there are some fans like us that really, really, really like it.
Right.
And so my opinion is I think we really need to engage folks and say, look, you're welcome to have your opinion about it.
Right.
But here's the way I think. I think you really need to check it out.
Yeah.
Because I think some people are staying away. I think the numbers are what they are.
Right.
So, just my opinion.
Now, here's what I'd be interested to know is, are these numbers including views on ABC.com?
That's, well...
And the reason I say that, here's why. Because I have a coworker who doesn't have cable, doesn't have a TV at all. Literally doesn't even have a TV. Right. And she watches on ABC.com with her sister.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if they're including any of those numbers, because of how many other folks, especially after all that, you know, hullabaloo with Time Warner and not getting Channel 2 for a while. Right. I mean, that was ridiculous. So how many people, I know it's ABC and I know it wasn't impacting those of us that are Time Warner customers, but what I'm saying is how many people got so frustrated that they just left TV altogether and said, you know what, Hulu Plus, you know, Amazon Prime, Netflix, whatever, we're going to do it some other way. We're not going to do it through cable.
Okay. This is what I want to do. If you do have further information, like you, I remember we got an email from somebody, I believe they were part of TVbythenumbers.com. I believe so. So if you have really specific information about these numbers, and if you can answer the question that we have, and I mean, you know, look, checking out other sites and everything, but I want kind of a definitive answer to this. Right. So look, Adam and Eddie, record a little audio on your smartphone, email it to feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. If it comes back, email me and I'll give you another email address to send it to, because sometimes those files are kind of large. But anyway, I want a definitive answer. So do you.
Yeah,
I think, I understand that live numbers are kind of the initial, but then you get caught up with DVR and all that kind of
stuff.
Right,
and other sources. Because again, you know, ABC.com is a huge source. And I'm pretty sure, I can't fathom they wouldn't know how many times the show is being watched off of that site.
Right. So I would imagine that ABC is listening. Hi. I would imagine the publicity department is listening. Hi.
Yep.
So we would like a definitive answer. And links to a site is cool, but I'd love to get some type of voice from some of these AA site that really has all this information.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's something I'm interested in. Okay. We will leave that for now. And I'm going to find this.
Yep. What's happening, Captain?
Aye, Captain. I see some email coming our way.
We have a number of really cool emails from Alina. In her email, it mentions the actor that plays Peter Pan. Robbie Kay is amazing, but I do wonder if Peter Pan is just going to play mind games with just Emma and Henry. That's a good point.
Yep.
And I think they're all going to get their time.
Exactly.
But certainly Emma and Henry are the main ones.
And what I wonder is why specifically them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's got to be a reason why he's messing with their heads. But I agree. I do believe firmly that he's going to mess with all of them.
Well,
and we'll talk more about that later.
Sure. Specifically, it's interesting that he really took the savior and remove that from Emma and made her an orphan, just like everyone else.
Right.
So in effect, that you've taken the savior and stripped that savior of all the power. It's like you're just like anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of really similarities with different, you know, I mean, yeah. So anyhow.
Exactly.
And Henry is the truest believer.
Right.
So if you can kind of play mind games with those two, you really upset the apple cart. But in a way, I'm not going to go into it, but Rumpelstiltskin is also getting a little bugged too.
Right. So, but here's the thing, though. Is he playing mind games with Henry? I mean, he's going to try to turn him against mm-hmm. Emma, but why would he want to do that? If Henry's the truest believer, yeah. he must know Henry's not going to fall for it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So it seems almost fruitless to do that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I think Henry... I mean, Peter Pan already kind of tipped his hand. And he goes, when you find Henry, he won't want to leave.
Right.
To me, it's a huge clue. And I'm going to throw this out there, and maybe a crazy idea, but I think this arc reminds me a lot of Heart of Darkness.
Mm.
And where it's a rescue mission, but the person they're rescuing doesn't want to leave. I mean, it's Dancing with Wolves, and it's all these other kinds of things where
right.
you're going to rescue somebody, and then you realize that they don't want to leave. Avatar is another one.
Right, they've assimilated.
Right, and he probably will,
even though Henry is the truest believer mm-hmm. at this point. Even though that is the case, maybe he's hoping that he can, and it may be bravado to think that he can turn Henry.
Yeah.
You know, he might be able to. It's really hard to say because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what tactic he's going to use to try and turn Henry against Emma. So we'll see what happens with that. It's going to be real interesting.
And the one, I'll get to that one get later. This is from Holly. And she loved how Team 7 didn't trust Charming.
Right.
And she also mentioned that maybe they had heard things about his twin brother. That's a fascinating question.
Right.
It's because we really don't know.
No, we don't.
Much about a time when they were both alive.
Mm. Well, he didn't even know he had a twin.
Right.
Remember? He had no idea. So, yeah. Did the dwarves have any interaction or any, I don't want to say dealings with, but, you know, did his sphere of influence reach them at some point?
Because his twin was not a nice person.
But, why do we keep saying that, though? We don't know.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Well, how do we know? What do you mean?
Tiny
was talking about. I forgot about that episode.
Yeah.
I forgot about that part.
He didn't care too much about anybody.
I forgot. You're right. I completely forgot about that episode altogether.
Yeah.
As I have much of season two. But,
I get how he wants to kind of, you know, hang around with Jack.
No, you're right. You're right. But, you're right. He wasn't a nice guy. Brought that up, you're right. He was not. I was thinking of the episode where Charming became the new prince.
Right.
And I'm thinking, we don't know anything about him from that episode. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot Tiny. So, yeah, you're right. You're right. Never mind. My bad.
So, it would reason that they could, if they kind of looked and they go, man, he looks just like, I wonder if it's him.
Right.
It's like, you know, or maybe they're brothers, so they're really similar.
Yeah.
Deep down. So, yep, there's another thing I'll talk about later. Okay, so the ending scene with Pan and Emma and him saying that Henry hadn't forgiven Emma for giving him up had me growling. Pan's very manipulative. True, that is very true.
Mm-hmm.
And his line about Emma being an orphan at the end of this really makes me a little nervous. I really hope they aren't foreshadowing too much. I mean, sure, Charming lied, and he did get nicked by one of the Lost Boys' arrow. I'm really hoping that there's a cure for him on the island. So, I mean, if there's a poison, there may be a cure.
Right. I'm willing to bet money there is, because the Lost Boys live there. You think they, playing around, don't get occasionally nicked?
Mm-hmm.
I would think that they've figured out what the antidote would be for that poison.
Yeah.
Especially because that's highly, highly concentrated, and because it's... You know, it's pure form. They say it's a slower death, so they'd have time to figure out what the cure would be. I would imagine that, or, you know, maybe it's Tinkerbell, maybe fairy magic, you know?
Yeah, that could be.
Any number of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure there's an antidote somewhere on the island, and they're gonna have to figure it out.
You know, and you know, if not, let's say, is there a double-sided candle? No, it's not.
No.
Not here. Sorry. Okay, so Let's talk about the elephant, or shall I say the rabbit in the room. There was that little promo thing in the corner of the screen, and Marilyn sent in an email and from the American Weekly article.
American Weekly? You mean Entertainment Weekly?
Entertainment Weekly. Well, it's in America. It's an American magazine,
Weekly.
I think.
That's awesome.
So, I don't know why I went there. Anyhow, I'm just all flabbergasted now trying to talk about this and not really get in trouble. I mean, there's so many great jokes out there. And, you know, it's kind of like a misguided, like one of those, whose line is it anyway, with the guy, the weatherman, and they put this, you know, different thing in the background.
Graphic, yeah.
And it's just, so that's kind of like what it was, but really different. But yeah, there were some fun little things.
No, what it was it was a very poorly timed, not placed, timed,
yeah, right,
promo.
Yeah.
Because if they had timed it properly, if they had actually paid attention and had run it previously, they would have realized, oh, wait, we got to delay this by, you know, 3 seconds, or we got to advance it up 3 seconds. Because if they'd done that, it wouldn't have been an issue.
Yeah. If you are the promo arranger for Once Upon a Time on KBC in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm,
we would love to talk to you because we know you have time. We know you're no longer working there. So, anyhow.
I wouldn't say that. I'm sure somebody got into a little bit of a trouble for not paying attention to that. And
how would they know, though?
Here's the thing. Look, the reality is that I would think they would understand how much time each segment between commercials runs.
Right.
So, therefore, if they know how much time between each segment runs and they know what time commercials are, they should be able to figure out exactly where and when. Now, like I said, they probably didn't plan it out in advance,
right,
and they just opted to put it there, and it just happened to coincide with exactly the right moment that Snow just happened to be standing in the unfortunate spot that she was in.
Yep. So I will let the funny Twitter comments stand as they are, and we'll move along. But anyway. So.
Yeah, I missed it the first time.
Yeah.
I completely did. Because you know what? I was so paying attention to what Snow was saying. I wasn't paying attention to what was showing up around her nether region.
It was one of those, did that really happen?
Yeah.
Anyhow.
After when I saw everything blowing up on Twitter, I was like, wait, what? How did we miss this? So yeah, we had to go look at it again. It was like, oh my gosh, that's
so
really, wow.
Thank you, Marilyn. That was one of those, that really happened? So thanks for a lot of fun on Twitter for that, especially.
Yep. Yeah.
And this email is from Mai, and she was talking about Regina. She says normally she's not a Regina fan, but I'm really liking her this season. She's a weird mix of the person in early season 2, pre-Daniel and the Evil Queen. But yeah, she is being very trigger friendly with the magic. I think it's that she feels she needs to protect herself. And I'm going to add, too, she's probably playing a card from the Hook deck in that she's trying to prove her worth as well in this
right,
new environment.
Right.
So magic is she has magic. It does work on this island. And so she is willing to kind of, for the good of the group, use that in whatever way possible. And not just to make herself look good, but to get to Henry.
Right.
But as a side part of that, she is becoming more valuable to the group.
Yeah.
So it is like Survivor, kind of like what we talked about.
The funny thing is they all need each other. And they do all have their strengths and their weaknesses. And the problem is I think they're all at some point focusing on their weaknesses and forgetting that they need the others. That what their weakness is, somebody else has that strength. And once they finally all realize that and start to actually pay attention and work together, which they're doing, but there's going to be bumps, I'm sure. Yeah. But I think once they do that, they're going to be unstoppable. And that's what's pretty cool about that. That's what's exciting about this.
I will continue reading the email.
Okay.
She's, I think it's that she feels she needs to protect herself. She's with her enemies. And honestly, if you think about it, there's no one on her side. There was Rumpel, kind of, but he left. And Hook, while he's a villain, he's always been more on the charming side, except when Cora's around. So I think we'll see her and the Charmings having to trust each other and maybe finally come to a real ceasefire.
Right.
And it is interesting to see the flashbacks of the Evil Queen on 10 before this big battle. Mm-hmm. And she says, we'll see you on the battlefield. And Regina, on the other side of things, in this situation where there's leaders, but it's not her.
Right.
And so she has to kind of fit in. Mm-hmm. And it's like going to a new school or something else. There's this new group of people. Where do I fit in? And but I think it's an interesting thing. It does have hints of season two.
Yeah.
In that she's trying to work it out, trying to get along. And what's interesting is every story has to have a bad guy or a bad girl or a bad thing.
Right.
And it's not Regina in Neverland.
Right.
Pan is the bad boy.
Right. He's the antagonist and they're the protagonist.
Right. And so they've got to kind of all find their spot.
Right.
With that.
Right.
I will continue with the email. Emma and Snow, this episode killed me with their parallels. Mm-hmm. And they were both lost and needed to have someone who believed in them and knew who they were from the start to show them who they were. Charming, he knew she was a true leader, but she needed to believe it. Mm-hmm. As well, Hook, back in Tallahassee, he tells Emma an orphan is an orphan.
Right.
Meaning he saw through her from the first moment they met. There was also some paralleling between Charming and Hook, too. And seriously, how awesome is that blossoming bromance? It is fun, because Charming is just kind of so...
He's annoyed with them.
He is annoyed. like we talked about, I think the first thoughts is these little side comments from Regina and Hook are just priceless stuff. Are. It's some of the best comments I've really ever heard because... part of the underlying of like the first episode, especially, is the characters, right?
Right.
The Hook character and Mulan the character,
right?
And so, you know, I see Snow and Charming being their characters of we have to be this, and you know, Regina also in a way. But it's funny these side comments are just hilarious.
They are very funny.
The S word and.
Yeah, you know, there's that. So. And then there's, you know, just the little, see, I told you I'm growing on you.
Yeah. I think I like Hook more now.
Oh, I love
in
Hook.
Season three than I did before.
Yeah, I'm definitely a Hook's wench.
Because I okay, then. All right.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. All right. I'll continue with the email because that was something. They both want to prove themselves worthy of Emma and Snow, Charming's.
Right.
Charming with the dwarves and Hook with Charming. And yeah, it's. And the rum sharing scene was great because we see Emma actually being flirty. Wouldn't you like to know? And he answers her completely serious. Perhaps I would. And that freaks her out and she runs away like she did in Tallahassee. And then the big question, and is anyone curious as to what Hook did to Rufio?
Yeah.
Now, this is from Mai.
So. Yeah, if they pull the page from the movie Hook, then we know what he did to Rufio. If they use a similar, I almost don't want to know because I like Hook.
Yeah.
I don't want to think badly of him anymore.
Yeah, I did. I know I'm going to beat this dead horse way past its time, but I liked Hook when I first saw the movie, but I've kind of rewatched certain parts over and over, and I like it more now than I think I ever did.
Right.
Just the exchange scene between Rufio and Pan is just powerful.
Because,
this old guy... nowhere near a lost boy and nowhere near the power of the crow and the flying and all that. It's just, he got there. He did it. It was just
the journey.
Right. Yeah. And so, I know this is not Hook, but I would love to see something like that where, Pan changes or anyway. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
This is from Katie. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I love both episodes of season three. Can't wait to see what happens next. She loved the Emma admitting she was an orphan scene.
Mm-hmm.
She did. I want to talk about the doll that was Rumples. Colleen, I think you mentioned on the first thoughts for Hard the Truest Believer that you wondered how Tamara and Greg knew about portals. Tamara told Greg and Neil had told her all about the magic beans, and when she showed them to him, I'm sure that Neil told her about the portals and how he fell through when he was a boy. So that's probably how...
That's possible, yeah.
So, you know, I still think that somehow Pan or the Lost Boys had someone to kind of feed them information.
They had to have had a way to communicate and feed the information, right? Yeah.
And so I think they duped her like Tamara duped Neil.
I just thought of something.
Okay.
We were wondering why Greg and Tamara. Why them?
Right.
They're orphans.
Right.
We know for sure Greg was an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
What about Tamara? We don't know anything about her. So I'm betting
she
is an orphan also. And maybe that's the thing, is that that's how they could communicate, is that because they are orphans, they have some way of being able to communicate with them. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And we, you know, we had this kind of pet theory around that Rumpelstiltskin may have collected children for Pan to send to Neverland, maybe.
Right.
But I wonder if they went there, how they got there, or how he communicated with them as orphans. I get what you're saying, and I think you're right on the money.
Yeah.
That we'll find that Tamara was an orphan.
Well, here's the thing. No. Think about this. That makes sense. Okay, here's why. Wow, this is just all of a sudden like, bing. When Emma was awakened by the crying.
Right.
He said to her, why can't the others hear it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why can't they hear it?
Okay.
They weren't orphaned as children.
Okay. And so,
Charming, Snow, Regina, they were not orphaned as children. Hook, we don't think he was orphaned as a child.
That's a great point.
Emma was. So that's how he communicates. People who are orphaned as children are more susceptible to hear that and more likely to... It's like a brotherhood. They understand it. So that's how... That makes a lot of sense, which then leads me to believe that somehow he's able to make these whispers or whatever to... Like, that's how he communicated with Greg and Tamara.
Yeah. Okay. And that's probably what...
And he may have communicated with them from the beginning, from when they were kids.
Well, yeah, because...
You know how... I'm sorry. Kids have imaginary friends. Maybe Peter was their imaginary friend.
Hmm.
Only he wasn't imaginary.
Wow. That's a great one. Yep.
So if that's the case, and Emma, maybe she had, you know... Cause
no, that would be perfect.
That'd
be a perfect way to communicate with an orphan.
Exactly.
Being an imaginary,
friend.
And then everyone think you're crazy, but you're actually not.
You're not. And that's the point. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then, of course, everyone attributes it to, well, they're so sad and lonely because they're orphaned. They don't have anybody. So they're making up friends that they can, you know, communicate with. But all the while, it's not. It's Peter Pan. He's communicating with them because he's an orphan. And not only that, I mean, I don't know if you know the movie Drop Dead Fred.
I've seen a bit of it.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, my gosh. Love that movie.
Yep.
The little girl, Phoebe Cates, when she was a little girl, had an imaginary friend, Drop Dead Fred. Only he was real.
Yeah.
But nobody could see him but her.
Right.
Because as a child, they believe. Children have very believing hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Children don't get jaded till they grow up and realize that things aren't real.
Yeah.
And then when they do, and they've grown up and they realize that things aren't real, they, you know, that's what makes them bitter and jaded.
True. And, I wonder if Greg was in the foster home where Emma and Pinocchio was.
Maybe. We don't know.
That'd be interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So.
He could have ended up in that system for all we know.
Yep.
And Tamara. Was she anywhere nearby? Was she, you know what I mean? There's so many possibilities.
Yep.
But I honestly, that just popped in my head. I think that the reason why Emma heard it is the only reason why is because she's the only one who was an orphan as a child. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that's how he communicated with Greg and Tamara.
Well,
from childhood.
And we, yeah, and we talked about it before. I think, it's, you know, I think she is going to relate to these kids as an orphan.
Right.
She's going to relate with these orphans. And instead of wanting to stay and separate herself, she's wanting to rescue them all. Because she came there to rescue Henry.
Right.
She will do that. But I think she's going to rescue all of them. And I think it's going to be this long psychological way where, you know, Pan is trying to mess with Emma's head. But on the other hand, you know, the line that screamed out at me when we rewatched it is, and you caught it, is when Snow told Emma, if it's a game, you can win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's going to win, but mm-hmm. it's going to be a hard road.
Here's the other thing. I want to bring this up because this was brought up earlier too. And I think this is now where everybody automatically assumes one thing, but I think we may see something a little bit different. He said to Emma, Peter, when we're done with this, Henry won't want to leave.
Right.
And you won't only understand him. You'll know, you'll really understand him because you will know what it's like to be an orphan.
Right.
Okay. She already does. So everyone's assuming, oh, he's going to kill her parents. No. How are orphans frequently orphaned? Parents abandon them.
Right.
So my thinking is that's a don't panic, everyone. I don't think they're going to kill off her parents. And this right. whole poisoning, you know, nicking, you know, charming side with the dream shade. I don't. That's a red herring. Don't follow that red herring. I don't believe they're going to kill him off. I believe they are going to at some point in time figure out how to have it look like Charming and Snow are abandoning her again.
Yeah.
And then she will mm-hmm. want to stay on the island with them. So I think at the end of the season, we're going to see that she and Henry are going to volunteer to stay there because they'll feel abandoned.
So let's say Tink takes Charming and Snow away somehow, spirits them away to Storybrooke or somewhere else. To go to be with the blue fairy to fix it.
Right.
I think the Charming cut and all that is an arc for the first 11 episodes, kind of like what we saw with Henry.
Right.
Being in a coma.
Right.
And all that. I think that's what that is. Mm-hmm. And the breaking of it and the fixing of it, I don't know what that's going to be, but I think that's what it is.
Right.
I don't think he's going to die.
Nope.
But I do think it's going to play into something very important that happens, right?
Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
Great stuff. I would listen to this podcast.
And dude, this all literally just came from me because of reading some of the stuff in these emails.
See,
that's the key.
That's why you're here. Because if it was just me, mm-hmm. we'd have two listeners. They mm-hmm. would love it, but there'd only be two. So that's anyway, why we do what we do.
Yeah.
This is from Brad. Good evening, Jeff and Colleen. We'll pretend it's evening. It's really kind of morning.
Right.
Here's a rundown for things I've learned in the episode Lost Girl. That Rip shadows all have creepy eyes. That's true. They should get Botox or something. It's weird.
No, they need eye drops. Visine.
Dropping the magic mirror brings you 14 years bad luck. Wow. That's double trouble. That
yeah,
Sydney's
is.
Got it
well,
out for
it's
you.
It's magic.
Regina's engagement gifts are terrible.
Yes, they are.
I watched Lana's, look, the whole cast is incredible, but I watched Lana's hands
mm-hmm.
in that scene, and it was just mesmerizing what she does with her hands. Mm-hmm. She's so good, and it's just, yeah. I would imagine the other actors do wonderful things with their
well,
hands,
they do.
But in that scene, I was drawn to watch her hands when she was talking, so loved it. Loved it, Lana.
Yeah.
All right, be careful in Everland. It's a trap. Boy, you ain't kidding. Hook and David are becoming bros. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll split a little rum, you know, and maybe Emma will come and talk a little bit and then run away when Hook gets too, whatever. 30. Rumpelstiltskin's doll may be related to Talkie Tina. That's, yeah, I totally can't get rid of that doll. Drop it down on a cliff, it falls in the sky. It's crazy.
And for those that are not aware, Talkie Tina is the name of the doll in the Twilight Zone episode that Jeff was referring to last time. And that episode was Telly Savalas was in that. That was a fantastically creepy and
scary. He was so mean, though, Telly Savalas.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, awful. Yeah. It was horrible. Yeah. It was a creepy episode.
Regina knows how to use Darth Vader's force choke. Thanks, Jeff. And that's true. But the thing you didn't mention, I'll keep reading. The thing you didn't mention is Hook needs somebody to clean his spyglass. If you watch it, there's a little speck of dust on it when he was using his spyglass to look around.
Oh, that's funny.
So he needs somebody that doesn't have a Hook to kind of help him out.
Oh, gotcha.
Maybe Emma. I don't know.
He's got a good hand.
I know, but well, he hadn't. You can't hold it and clean it. It's hard to do that.
All right.
So Rufio exists in this version of Neverland. Well,
he did.
So, but we'll see. Maybe Rufio is a locked up somewhere. We don't know. And see, again, they're playing these lost cards because we assume so much by what he says, what I did to Rufio. It's like,
right.
We don't know.
We don't know if he killed him. We don't know that. Right. And that's the thing. You have to keep remembering. They love to turn stuff and lead you down a primrose path.
I know what he did is Hook made Rufio trim those dream shades around so that you could get around it. Mm. Who's trimming those bushes? They got a gardener.
Theoretically,
there.
They wouldn't grow in a perfect. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. But you got to be very careful when you do that. Okay, mm-hmm. Number 9. A handsome look and chiseled chin do not fool the dwarves. And that's true. Did you hear that line?
I did.
Chiseled chin, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So because Grumpy, he won't put up with the foolishness.
No, he won't.
There was a funny tweet somebody said, Lee Ehrenberg, you really need to question Josh Dallas now for real. So it carried over from the show.
That's funny.
Number 10, wasting Rumpelstiltskin's time also comes with a price. Yeah, man, that Rumpelstiltskin, he'll get everything all the time, including your mom's necklace.
Beautiful necklace.
Wasting his time. Number 11, not even Prince Charming can escape the we need to talk. Woo. Yeah, she did have that look on her face.
Oh, she was like, so woo. Angry. So man. Angry.
Men don't even want to look at that look on television. It just makes them nervous. That made me nervous. Like, honey, I can explain. Oh, man. I thought she was going to push him in the water. Number 12, don't eat the blueberries in Neverland. That's true.
Which is funny because you kind of go, wait, blueberries are really tasty. So why not the blueberries? What's wrong with the blue ones? Yep. And is that maybe, what if that's the antidote for the wetchahoosie?
What?
The blueberries is the antidote for the dream shade.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want her eating them because, you know what
Possibly.
I mean?
Possibly, yep. Mm. Pan is the most treacherous villain Hook has ever faced, number 13.
Which is really, when you think about it, kind of funny. A kid is the most treacherous villain you've ever faced, Hook, but you're a pirate?
Yeah, it's a classic story, though. Is the thing that you would never, Yoda... You know, is the strongest, right?
Right.
The shortest little kid, you know, whatever. So,
The Holy Grail is guarded by the white, fiercest white rabbit.
Right.
It's just white rabbit.
Yep. Number 14, Emma is not into wax mustaches and perms.
Most women aren't, by the way. Not in this century, anyway. A couple centuries ago, absolutely. That was the hot thing.
Smee.
Okay. Moving right along.
My hook, all right.
Yeah, moving
Number
right
15,
along.
Excalibur is a weapon even the Dark One cannot destroy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because it's a magical, powerful sword.
It is a magical, powerful sword. That's it for this time. Have a great weekend.
Oh, what? Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
Right. I thought you were saying that's all for the show. I'm like, wait, no. There's so many more things to say.
Oh, no, I know
and
that.
And by the way... Did we notice that Dream Shade is what Hook used on Rumpel?
Yes.
Tell me again how he got some Dream Shade.
Well, he was there.
So when he saved it?
Yeah. He said it was a... Yeah, yeah. He was telling me... Well, he was telling
you?
Everybody. Well, he looked right at me. No, he was telling everybody that it was a very, you know, concentrated form of blah, blah, blah.
How long ago did he have that stuff?
I don't know.
He thought to just...
Remember Snow had that thing of evil fairy dust around her neck?
I guess.
You just carry stuff like that around.
Wow, when you think about it, he had that for a long time.
He did.
And he purposely did it to try and kill Rumpelstiltskin.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Well, he's either that or his, you know, his...
But what's funny about it is, if you think about it, Rumpelstiltskin's the dark one.
Right.
You're supposed to not be able to kill the dark one, except for by the knife.
I know. Or the riders. I don't know.
So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's just, that was some funny little thing. So, anyway.
All right. We're going to take you live to something very, very, very exciting. Sort of live.
Okay.
We're going to take you to the Most Evil Person of 2013 Awards.
Oh.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We got tickets and everything. We're on the front row, all of us.
Woohoo!
Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the 2013 Most Evil Person in the World Awards. And no, it can't go to me every year, so sorry. Oh, I've just been handed a note. License plate 815-1138. Your TIE fighter has its lights on, so dude, you better get out and turn them off. Alright, let's keep Dracula away from the microphones. We know real vampires don't sparkle, but you're going to have to let it go, Drac. Just let it go. Oh, and another thing, Sith Lords, no more random force choking without consent. You know the rules. And now we're going to reveal our last nomination for the most evil person of 2013. You know her, you love her, the elegantly evil Queen Regina.
You need to be alive. You need to be awake so you can spend all your days knowing that I have taken everything that was supposed to be yours. Now get down on your knees and swear on your father's grave that this kingdom belongs to me.
And if I don't?
Well, then someone will pay the price. Next time, she won't be. You have until sundown tomorrow to give up the throne. And for every day that you defy me, I will kill one of your loyal subjects. Snow White, you may have been a princess, but you will never be a queen.
I see all your electronic votes are in, and so are your snarky comments about my weight. Look, I have a thyroid problem and an addiction to Cinnabon, so don't be a hater. And with that, I'm going to tally the votes. Wow, there's lots of votes for Miley Cyrus's wardrobe person and her tongue, turns out. But the winner and most evil person of 2013 is... I'm taking that Ryan Seacrest pause right here. The evil Queen Regina. Come on up, babe. That outfit you're wearing is... Well, it's more amazing than mine. How about a hug? Okay, I'm sorry. The crowd is yours.
You wanted to see your queen? Well, my dears, here she is. Now get down on your knees.
Hey, guys, I really, really, really think we should do what she says.
Yeah, we get some tickets for stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Man.
Wow, she got the most evil person in the world for 2013.
And I think she needs to build more shelves to put awards on.
I know.
She's probably got all kinds of different awards.
I would imagine she probably does. I mean, great wardrobe. That's for darn sure.
I agree with that. All right.
Aye, Captain. I think we may have some voicemails coming our way.
Watch it. Watch yourself.
Whoa.
Watch yourself. I got a splinter.
How?
All right. So we're going to play some voicemails now. Here is our first voicemail.
Permission aboard the Once Upon a Time fan podcast ship. This be Master Gunner Brad, ready to man the cannons for today's podcast. Hello, Captain Jeff and First Mate Colleen. I'm here to give you me thoughts on Lost Girl. In this week's episode, what really stood out to me was when Emma looked into the eyes of the Lost Boy and stopped fighting. Hook had a conversation with her while climbing the beanstalk in the episode Tallahassee, where he told her she shared the same look of being left alone in her eyes, just as the Lost Boys did. So when she acknowledged this herself, it was a nice throwback to that moment. Even though she found her parents, it doesn't take away the pain of being an orphan. I believe that the way Peter is able to keep Neverland running the way it does and control the Lost Boys is by using their pain of being abandoned and turn it into anger. Maybe once you give into the anger, it changes you and you don't want to leave. Just like in Star Wars, where giving into their anger gave them power of the dark side. The natural reaction of someone who has been abandoned by their parents is usually anger and hurt. It's easier to hold on to that resentment than it is to forgive and move on. When Emma was born, she was immediately put into the wardrobe. She never was able to form a bond with her parents. She never had the comfort of knowing her mom would always be there for her. She had no father to tell her he'd always protect her and that there was nothing to be afraid of. She had no one to love her unconditionally, no one to make her feel special and tell her that she had so much to offer. She had no one to wipe away her tears or hold her when her whole world fell apart. Now, I have two children of my own, so I understand how fundamentally important it is to form that bond with them. It begins now while they're young so that when they grow up, they are able to figure out who they are. Now, Emma has been alone for 28 years. She went from multiple foster homes, resorted to stealing, had her boyfriend leave her, went to prison, became pregnant, and gave up the baby. So no wonder she is so unsure of herself and finds it hard to trust people. She has blamed Snow and David for Neil's supposed death and Henry's kidnapping. So knowing the backstory to Emma, it's going to be extremely difficult for her. Not only does she have to fight off her own feelings, but also Peter Pan's persistent taunting. Combine all that with an island full of abandoned kids just like her, and you have a major struggle on your hands. Henry is going to have a battle as well, based on what Pan said. And wouldn't it be an interesting twist if Henry begins to stop believing in Emma and she has to now convince him to believe again? Well, keep up with the great podcasting, guys. And, Captain, the cannons are ready to be fired.
What's not on the summit, boy?
Oh, sorry.
Arr, Captain! This be Master Gunner Brad, letting you know that the cannons be ready to be fired. I need a new gig.
Thanks, Brad.
That's awesome.
That was great.
Yeah.
Man.
Fantastic assessment.
Made
me actually start wanting to cry because, I mean, wow, that is important. And you don't think about that. And especially, I mean, we don't have children of our own.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to, you know, correlate. But at the same time, having had parents of our own, you know, you're right. There is that whole bonding thing that that does happen. And especially if it doesn't happen in the first few days of a baby's life, it makes it really tough.
And I hope, you know, I mean, just like Brad said, I mean, that was a great, great, there's a lot of thought involved in that voicemail. Thanks mm-hmm. again. It's going to be interesting when she starts to kind of unpack all the things that she went through to
right.
Snow.
Right.
And how Snow will kind of react to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that will be real interesting to see how that all unfolds. And I think he's absolutely right. I think there's going to be a major struggle. And yeah, great point. What if the twist of this season is that now Emma has to convince Henry to believe?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Great stuff. Thanks
mm-hmm.
so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, this is from Marilyn. Mm-hmm. So she called in her voicemail, which I'll play, and then she called back later and said, I forgot to say who it was. So this is Marilyn.
Okay.
Just letting you and everybody know.
Ahoy there. Permission to come aboard, Captain Jeff? Or should I be calling you the Dread Pirate Roberts? Hi, Jeff and Colleen. Great to have you back podcasting. I really like your new format, and I really like the new pirate theme you got going on. And I'm also really liking the direction this season is taking. It's kind of a turn on the previous seasons where we had everybody fighting with each other, and now we've got them trying to work together for a common goal, saving Henry. But we've also got a big theme of abandonment going on. Hook was abandoned by his father. Rumpel was abandoned by his father. Emma is resentful of being raised an orphan. Henry was put up for adoption. And Charming and Snow are feeling a lot of guilt for giving Emma up to try to save her. The only one that doesn't seem to be in that category, I guess, would be the Queen. But then again, she was kind of emotionally abandoned by her mother, although she did turn around and kill her father, so I don't know what that means. But I'm really enjoying the season so far. And the doll that keeps coming back to Rumpel. Now, do you think that's Pan's doing, or could it be the island, like Lost? One more thing. I have to say this for Colleen. The last episode, when Tomorrow got killed, now after my initial woohoo, my immediate thought was, oh, Colleen is going to be so happy about this. And I think the writers were listening to how much we hated Tomorrow, because not only did she get killed once with the arrow, they killed her for us twice by having Rumpel then basically cure her and then rip out her heart and kill her again. So we got double the satisfaction. I guess that's all I've got for now. So looking forward to the next episode. Keep up the good work. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.
Thanks, Marilyn. And she's right. That was true. Twice the satisfaction of seeing Tamara get killed. And by the way, apparently, and I didn't know this because, you know, we're limited on what shows we have time to watch, but apparently the actress that played Tamara also is on Sherlock, I guess on BBC America. And she plays a very similar evil character, and she's apparently trying to convince everyone that Sherlock is the one who's doing all the evil things instead of Moriarty. So she's an evil character. And I said, and my coworker who watches Once Upon a Time also watches Sherlock, and she told me, she goes, yeah, she's horrible on that show too. And I said, wow, well, at least she's not on ours anymore. She's gone. Yay.
But yeah, thank you. I'd forgotten also that Rumpel was an orphan as well.
He technically was, yeah, because we don't know what happened to his mother.
Because the father left him.
Right, we don't know how the father abandoned him. Right. We don't know what happened to the mother. Maybe his mother died in childbirth. We just don't know, because he doesn't ever mention the mother, at least that I can think of. And that was the first time we'd heard him mention his own father.
Yeah.
So, real interesting to see, is he an orphan also? And maybe that's why he is susceptible to the things that he's susceptible to.
But great voicemail, Marilyn. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And yeah, I love the way you kind of tied everything in.
Well, and the doll, I think it's Pan. I think Pan's one who's doing, because I think it's a mind game with Rumpel. But could it be the island?
It is interesting.
It's interesting to see what they'll do with that.
I try not to mention too much Lost stuff, but you know, it is interesting that that Rumpel doesn't need, or Gold doesn't need his cane anymore.
Right.
And also that there are magical things that are happening. Lost, we did have relatives that were dead and gone appearing to people. Mm-hmm, there were voices and whispers that you could hear. You know, Walt and Christian and all these different people. There's a black horse and all this kind of really mysterious things going on. Mm-hmm. And so, these mysterious appearances could be the doll, but it could be Pan as well.
Well, you think about Neverland.
Right. Yep.
It's a mysterious, magical, crazy place.
It is indeed.
So.
So thank you very, very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to move on to... let's do this.
Hi, Captain. Check this out. I love the bell, Captain. I just can't stop ringing it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Juan.
Let's thank Quartermaster Juan IV. He's fantastic.
All right,
so
bells.
He loves bells.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of bells,
mm-hmm.
You had an epiphany.
I did. We watched the episode again.
Yep.
And what I found interesting is that I wanted to watch the whole Belle and Rumple scene again, all the scenes with Belle and Rumple. So we went back and we kind of played around with and skipped through. And what struck me is my original thought when I first saw the episode last Sunday was that it was Peter Pan shape-shifting, making himself look like Belle. And then when Belle said, "Oh no, you brought me here." And then I thought, well, okay. But then I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. So we watched it again. And I'm now going back to my original theory. I think that was Peter Pan. I think he was him seriously, seriously messing with Rumple's mind. Okay?
Yep.
I think it was him because there were so many things about that whole thing with Belle that didn't fit with what should have been a Rumple-Belle exchange. Okay? First, and probably more importantly to me, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who thinks this, but I know Belle's theme real well because it's on my iPhone. I listen to it. It's my iTunes list. I listen to it quite regularly. Mm-hmm. I know Belle's theme. The music they were playing when she was on the island with him was similar, but it was not Belle's theme. But every scene we've seen with Regina is always Regina's theme. So all these folks that have their own theme, their themes are playing when they're there.
Right.
This was sort of Belle's theme, but it was just off.
Could be a clue.
I think that's one clue.
Mm-hmm.
Second is just her reaction to everything he was saying. There were looks she gave. There were comments, the way she answered him. It wasn't Belle. It wasn't the Belle we know. It wasn't the Belle that was with him in the castle. It wasn't even the Belle that's with him in, you know, Storybrooke. It was just enough for him to kind of buy into it.
Yep.
He hesitated kissing her.
Yep.
If it was really, truly Belle, even if he thought she wasn't there, the fact that he can hold her hand, why wouldn't he kiss her?
Well,
do you see what I'm saying? It's just nothing made sense about that. There were too many things that made me think that it's Peter Pan who's messing with him. And the huge clue for me, where did she lead him?
Right.
She's not even really there, right?
Mm-hmm.
If she's not even really there, how did she know to lead him exactly to the same place that Pan took
and Henry? Yep.
So that's another point. And then, of course, my final one is, he's the freaking Dark One. How does he not feel that that's not Belle?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is we did see Regina reach out with her magical force power to know that Pan was near.
Right.
So she knew,
right.
But the Dark One couldn't know. And I think his love blinds his power.
Perhaps.
And
perhaps.
I think he wanted it to be real. And
sure.
That's why he kind of maybe didn't, you know.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's the other thing. I think the reason why Peter did this is to fish for something, details to try and destroy him.
Because she kept asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you here? Why do you think
why
that?
Do you, why do you? Why am I here?
Yeah.
Why'd you bring me here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She was fishing. And then, of course, you know, just the answers that she gave, the way she said them were so similar to how Pan spoke to Emma. Just the tone, the cadence, the reaction, and again, the looks. That's the most important piece. So I'm kind of thinking we're going to see at some point in time that he's going to figure out that wasn't really her. Because the answer, the other thing was, the other one that got me too, was the answer of, so wait, is everybody okay? Oh yeah, no, we're fine. Everything's fine.
Right.
Belle, I don't think Belle would have said that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I think she would have been a little more, it's just the answer
that's right.
was too
because
easy.
She didn't know. She, well, this Belle
right.
that we're looking at really only answered with the information that was given to her. He said, did the cloaking spell work? Yes, it worked, and we're all fine.
Right.
But she didn't offer any new
right.
information.
Right.
Like, look, I had a problem, and I had to call the Blue Fairy, and it was kind
right.
of a mess, and
right.
whatever.
She so. Didn't She didn't
yeah.
make any
yeah.
indication of any personal information about what's happening
nope.
in Storybrooke.
So I agree with you. I think you're right on the money, and I think
there
maybe
just
the
too
musical
many,
thing was a clue.
Yeah, there
so.
Are just too many things about that scene that just did not sit. Those scenes, there were three or four of them in this, you know, distinct ones, and it just did not sit. And again, why would his conjuring up a Belle steal the doll?
Right.
Belle didn't know about the doll.
True.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she didn't know about the doll.
And it is interesting that a lot of the Lost Boys wear a hood.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not saying that she could not wear a hood.
No.
Because she did in the Enchanted Forest.
She did.
She wore a hood at one
right.
point. So, I mean, that
right.
kind of fits with her.
And here's the other thing. Let me ask this question. Why would he conjure her up in her old costume?
Hmm.
Her Belle costume
right.
from when she was a, you know, his servant girl.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Right.
I would think he would conjure her up in more modern clothing, what she looks like now.
Yep.
So that's one thing. Second thing is, the other thing is, there was another thing that when she went to touch his face, it was very awkward. That wasn't the touch of a lover. That was the touch of somebody who's trying to be sweet and gentle, but is mm-hmm. clearly awkward at it, which a boy of 14, 15 would be very awkward at that. Just like I said,
right.
little things that just mm-hmm. are eating at me, and that we're saying this is not red flag. This is not Belle. It's not Belle.
Now, another thing too for me was that in Lost, they always split up the group.
Right.
One here, four there, two over there, and they never could really get together until the end to mm-hmm. share information to help each other out.
Right.
If Regina was there, she would have said, look, Gold, that's not even her.
Right. She would have known.
There is no way that's her. That's Pan.
Right.
But because, like, I think, because he's in love,
mm-hmm.
love is blind.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
love blinded his, you know,
right.
knowing
but,
that that was
but then,
Pan.
But then let me also answer this. Let's ask this question. He is the Dark One. He should know this stuff, right?
Right.
This shouldn't be a surprise to him. It shouldn't have.
Right.
And even if love is blind, he's been a pretty good actor in the past as far as making people think he, you know, believes something or does something or knows something or whatever when he doesn't, right?
Right.
So what if he actually does know that that is really Pan because he stopped himself and before he hesitated, and then when he realized it was not her, because he grabbed onto her face.
Oh, it kept going to kind of make him think that
right,
he's hoodwinked.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's his way of playing on, you know, how many more times is she going to show up?
So maybe he's testing Pan's little doll trick
yeah.
by burning it, and then he gets it again, and he goes, okay, that's how he's playing. I'll just put this in my pocket.
Right.
All right.
I mean, there's so many possibilities. You know, it looks like he's traumatized by it. It looks like he's overwhelmed by it. It looks like he's trusting that that's Belle and that she came to him. And again, my question is, you brought me here.
Right.
Wouldn't he know that he did that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
In a way.
But that's what a kid would say.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, okay, you want to play games? All right, let's play a game.
In a way, it reminded me of the August and Gold matchup when August pretended to be Balefire.
Yes, and he kind of went along with it for a while.
A little bit, and then he goes, wait a minute. And then my son would never do that.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, it in a way reminded me of that.
Yeah, it does.
Without that turn at the end.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But I think that may be his way of saying, okay, so you're going to mess with me. You're going to play a game. Guess what? We're going to play a game.
That would be a great twist.
Dude,
that would
be
really
awesome
be a great
twist.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, my money is on that is not Belle. That was not Belle at all. That was not how she would have reacted. That was not her music. That was not how she would touch him. It's not how they would react to each other. Yeah. And just the stuff he said to her, you think she hasn't already heard that stuff from him before? You think he hasn't shared that with her? Because I'm pretty sure he has.
Yep.
They had a pretty amazing relationship before. So
true.
I just, there's just too much about that makes me think that's Pan.
And she did Windows too. And dusted the drapes. Okay, I had a couple of notes, so we'll kind of roll through these, and then we have another comedy bit. Can you believe it?
Wow.
So much fun.
I know.
And Quartermaster Wanforth playing his instruments.
I know.
What a boat we have.
Yes.
And Wi-Fi.
Have we ever revealed the name of our ship? Have we ever talked about the name of our ship?
Well, I mean, I've called it the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast Ship, but we can...
I kind of... was thinking that the name was Jolly Oncer.
The Jolly Oncer. Well, we're all Jolly Oncers.
Correct. But the Jolly Oncer is the name of the ship, don't you think?
Okay. All right. So when you're on the Jolly Oncer, you are a Jolly Oncer.
Exactly.
And Jolly Oncers love everybody.
Exactly.
There's no ship wars. We love everybody.
Nope.
We're kind. We're nice. That's the way we do it. All right.
Come one, come all.
That's right. So has the shadow, and what I mean by that is when you're watching the scene when Rumpelstiltskin's cutting his shadow off, has his shadow done other tasks for Rumpel before? Because he said, you know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hide this where me or da-da-da,
whatever. No one, not even me, can find this. Yeah.
What I think is when he cut the shadow off, the shadow knew, okay, I'm here to do his bidding, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was a clue for the shadow. Obviously, I've got a job I need to do. And then he told him what to do.
Right.
So, I mean, the first question is, where is he hiding the knife or the dagger first? Second is, what has he done before?
Right. Well, think about it. The shadow, like I said, what
collecting
is your shadow?
Henry?
Right. Maybe. Maybe.
Ah.
Maybe.
I just stumbled on that.
Yeah, you did. And if that's the case, not just Henry.
Right.
So, the shadow. Your shadow. What is your shadow? Your shadow is a representation. It's a dark side of you. And only is revealed by the light.
Yep.
So, I think it is a part of him.
Right.
Because your shadow is a part of you. It is a piece of you.
Yep.
So, anyway.
All right. So, a lot of this episode reminded me of the movie Seven, which is a very psychological, kind of a creepy film with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
Right.
And if you haven't seen it and you kind of don't like gross things, you probably shouldn't see it. But if you've seen it, you know that this killer planned these murders along the way and left these clues to, and I won't give away the end. I mean, it's been years or whatever, but the final setup for the final act, it was one of those really brilliant things. And it kind of reminded me of, I think, how this is going to go. I'm not saying there's going to be murders and all that, but I'm just saying that these twists are going to be a psychological twist that make you do things that you probably never thought you would do before.
Right.
And I'm probably overstating it, but it kind of reminded me a bit of Seven. So, also this, rescuing Henry kind of reminds me of Breaking the Curse in that Pan has a specific game and specific things he wants you to do to win right. or rescue Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of reminds me of all the things that they had to go through to break this curse right. in season one. It just kind of reminded me of that. And then now we toss in Charming's cut.
Injury.
Mm-hmm. Injury. And that kind of plays in with, you know, the Henry in a coma and all that.
Right.
So I do really like looking further into Grumpy and Team 7. They've always been kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Grumpy's kind of been, you know, you don't steal from a dwarf. You know, kind of giving these dwarfisms along the line. But it was really nice to kind of dig in deep because you saw him care. Listen, Dreamy was great. Grumpy in love. Love that. That's really great. But it was nice to kind of see in deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And the seven brothers, that was kind of a nice little nod to they are a family.
Mm-hmm.
And they care about each other.
Yeah,
and,
they do.
And it's just for the first time I kind of saw a little deeper besides Dreamy, that episode, into them. They care. They normally were very good workers, cared about Snow White, cared about the town, and they did what they had to do to find the jewels and diamonds and all that. But I don't know. It was nice.
One thing I noticed is that when Regina showed up and the townspeople were terrified, they ran and hid.
Yeah.
Dwarves didn't hide.
Right.
Dwarves didn't care that they were going to potentially die at Regina's hand if it came down to that. Except Sneezy, who was like, well, probably all going to die.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. I would have thought, actually, it would have been one of the other dwarves that might have said that. But it was funny that he was one who came up with that. But it was true that they stood their ground. And they're very loyal to Snow. They love her and they care about her.
This has been said a trillion times. I'll say it again. I love the Avengers pose.
Mm-hmm.
I love the camera pan around.
Yeah, when the five on the island were trying to fight the boys. Yeah.
Yep. It's a great animated GIF picture.
Mm.
It's just fantastic. It really is. I love it. It was also interesting seeing Emma's group therapy. You know, when she was trying to work on that map, you know,
right.
they were all trying to give her little things to kind of nudge her there.
Yeah.
And as August was to Emma, being the Yoda,
right,
kind of nudging her in the right direction, I think they all were trying to. But I think Snow eventually was the one to kind of, you know, you could see the light bulb go on her face, and she goes, no, there's something you're not admitting.
Right. So. And I think that was that whole thing of they honestly thought that she didn't believe she was a savior. And I think they thought that was the one thing and she'd have to admit that and that would be fine. And when it didn't work, I think Snow kind of went, whoa, okay, so if this isn't it, then what is it? And I think Snow realized what it was. And that's why she purposely, you know, Charming is like, let's go. I'm going to help my little girl. And she's like, no, this is a mother-daughter thing. You cannot fix this. So when she realized what she needed to admit, what she needed to say, I know that Emma didn't want to admit it at first because, first of all, it's very painful. Secondly, I don't think, because she does really love Mary Margaret as a friend right now, I think that she, you know, didn't want to hurt her feelings and say, look, me admitting this means that I have to hurt you by saying you did this to me, basically.
Yep.
So that was a really, really interesting scene.
I love season 3 more than I ever thought I would. This is really...
Yeah.
I think they're doing fantastically well. So
yeah, I'm really excited about
kudos to all for sure.
Yeah.
Captain, is it time for our comedy bit?
He's a musical guy.
Very musical. Very.
I don't think he can sing.
Oh, no.
But
let's not have him sing.
I think he's musical.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a little ad for pirates that have trouble with scurvy.
Oh.
Hello. Got scurvy? Then get scurvy begone. Scurvy begone will make you scurvy free. But there are a few side effects. It has a high probability of causing hair loss, memory of your hair loss, sudden veganism, botanophobia, dropsy, name dropsy, trench mouth wearing a trench coat, collie wobbles, parrot fever, the golf clap, rickets, rackets, water on the knees, boats on water on the knees, locked jaw, lockpick jaw, a case of the measles, a case of the Mondays, and weak in the knees. So get rid of scurvy and get a bunch of other maladies that'll make the scurvy seem like nothing at all.
Oh, maybe we could just find some limes.
No, get scurvy be gone. And that's an order.
Well, the golf clap.
I will tell you that the original script, I did remove some of the other maladies I had in there.
Oh, I'm scared.
Because I know we have new listeners and people that may have not appreciated it. So just understand that I did edit a bit. But
a case of the Mondays.
Yes.
And weak in the knees.
Yes.
As in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no. Friday.
So I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and we really love what we do, and we really care about all of you. That's really been from the beginning. This has always been kind of a family affair, and people that send in emails and voicemails, we really appreciate it, and we like more, but hey, what we've got is fantastic. So
yeah.
I want to kind of go through a couple of things before we end up, and we really appreciate if you would live tweet when you are listening to our podcast.
Yeah, whenever that is.
Whenever that is. We appreciate if you would say, I am listening to at OUAT podcast right now, or that comedy bit on at OUAT podcast was so funny, scurvy be gone, whatever. It's just like when you watch a television show and you're live tweeting about that. It's the same kind of a thing, but please use at OUAT podcast in your tweet. We'd really appreciate it because then people will know.
Right. But if you're driving while you're listening,
don't tweet. Don't do that.
Tweet later.
Don't do that. So
tweet safely.
Tweet.
Sorry, I had to throw that
wait
out
till
there.
You're home, tweet home before you tweet. How's that? Oh. All right. Also, we really appreciate you retweeting things that we tweet out. I'm trying to kind of do some little funny comedy things that are separate from the show on our Twitter feed. And so retweeting, especially when we are promoting the podcast episodes, we really appreciate that. And other things, too. We thank you so much for live tweeting and for also retweeting us. We are on iTunes. We really would appreciate any new listeners. If you have a 5-star rating handy, that we would love that because it helps us to get noticed on iTunes. And that's really what season 3 is all about for us, is just get exposure and have people try us. Right. At least once, we got a really nice tweet from somebody who said, first time listener, really enjoyed it, really in depth, first thoughts, thanks so much. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. So one more thing is if you shop on Amazon, please use our Amazon link. Mm-hmm. You get whatever you want on Amazon and we get a percentage, small percentage, and it adds up over time. We don't ask for any money for this podcast. Right. It's free, but we do ask that you use our Amazon link, pretty please. It's store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And
Lady just begged, please.
Lady begged. Yeah, please use it. It helps us. It really does. So we appreciate everything. I want to send big love out to everyone. New listeners that have been here the whole time, we're here for you. Thanks so much. And we will be doing our first thoughts again tomorrow after the new Once Upon a Time episode. So with that, we will bid you adieu and we will see you later once I find the ending bumper.
Yes.
Well, mates, thank ye for joining us for the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This be a Roni's Own Media production. We want to hear from ye. Our website be onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our email be feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our voicemail line be 657-333-0626. So tell other oncers that this be the place to be. Until we sail again, big love to you all, and we'll see ye later. With me, good eye, of course.